of the congregation. And today was a very unusual one because it came to us in the section for questions as just a single word, and that word was lonely. Now, it may be just one word, but that word is just loaded with meaning and images and feelings. It calls up the picture of an older person who's no longer visited by their family, or of a teen who feels just left out and alone. It calls up the image of a spouse who has lost their longtime mate, either through divorce or through death, or the picture of a child swinging alone on a playground. To be lonely is often to feel abandoned, depressed, and even hopeless. So I think if I needed to put this one in a question, I would ask, how do we face and deal with loneliness? Because we all experience it from time to time in our lives. How do we deal with these feelings? Well, I think the beginning of the answer would be that we need to grow within ourselves the capacity to be alone without being lonely. Now, that's very easy to say, but it's not so easy to do. Because for some of us, it's scary to be alone. There are dark feelings that come up inside us when we are alone. For some of us, there are voices in our head that play with us. They say things like, you're a failure. You're a bad person. It's never going to be any different. And these voices just dog us. And so sometimes we deal with them by playing the radio or the TV or having the computer on all the time, just to drown out these voices that speak in our heads. And yet, it doesn't quiet them, because at the edge of our consciousness, they're still speaking those negative things to us. Sometimes, just as we're falling off to sleep or just as we're waking up, they start in on us again. So I believe that instead of drowning out those voices and even trying to ignore them, it would be better for us to name them. And if I were to name those kind of voices that play in our head, I would name them as the voice of the liar, the destroyer, or perhaps I would call it the devil. Those voices that say failure, no good, unlovable, hopeless, are a lie. Because the deep truth that the Bible tells us in verse after verse after verse of the Scripture is that we are loved. We are known by name. We are loved individually, specifically, and deeply. In the book of Isaiah, we hear these words, and they are spoken by God and recorded in the book of Isaiah. Do not fear. For I have called you by name, and you are mine. You are precious in my sight and honored, and I love you. And then if we move to the New Testament, there's scripture verse after scripture verse. Jesus said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that everyone who believes in him may not perish but have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Just before Jesus died, he spoke to his disciples, and his words echo down through the ages to us. No greater love, no one has greater love than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friend. Friends. And then in one of the last books of the Bible, in the letter to John, we hear these words. God's love was revealed among us in this way. God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. In this is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the sacrifice for our sins. I could go on quoting scripture after scripture that names these voices that want to play in our head as the voice of a lie, as the voice of the one who would destroy us, not give us life. And you might choose one of these scripture verses to memorize. And when that voice starts speaking in your head, answer it. Don't run away from it. Answer it with one of these scripture verses. There's a story told about the 16th century leader of the Protestant Reformation, Martin Luther. Martin Luther was prone to depression and feelings of guilt and shame that would just paralyze him. Martin Luther had an understanding of what baptism means. Baptism means the washing away of our sins and of a new beginning for us in God, in Jesus Christ. And so every time those voices would start to play in Martin Luther's head, he would put his hand on his head and he would say to the voices and whoever was causing those voices, I am baptized. And in that way, he would drive away and drown out the voices. So I'm suggesting that we might drown out those voices with scripture, with the voice of God, rather than with TV or radio or the computer or whatever. Now, having said that, sometimes those voices that make us dread being alone are actually something that we need to deal with and put to rest. There may be some deep anger that we're holding on to that we need to ask God's help to just let go of. There may be a fear that we need to face. And again, asking God's help to help us face that fear, and if it's a legitimate fear, to care for that thing. There may be shame, and shame is never a positive feeling. Shame is something we need to ask for God's help to throw away in our lives. There may be guilt. It may be legitimate guilt, and maybe we need to ask for someone else's forgiveness or give forgiveness to someone else. There may be a debt we need to repay. But whatever is giving us those feelings and making us afraid to be alone, perhaps we need to ask the help of a Christian counselor, a pastor, a Christian friend to deal with, to throw away, to put to rest. Above all else, we need God's help to sort all of this out and to say to those voices, the voice of the liar, every time it speaks to us, get away from me. I am a beloved child of God. So the beginning of dealing with loneliness in our lives is to grow the capacity to be alone without being lonely by putting to rest the voice of the liar in our lives. The second step would be to turn being alone into solitude. Solitude is something that is positive. Jesus wasn't afraid to be alone. In fact, he sought times to be alone. In the scripture verse from Matthew that we heard for today, we hear Jesus, after he had dismissed the crowds, he went up to the mountain by himself. He chose to be alone and to pray. Jesus looked for times when he could be alone with God. Christian author Thomas Kelly, in his little book, A Testament of Devotion, says that at the center of our being is a holy place that is reserved for God. And he goes on to write, deep within us there is an amazing inner sanctuary of the soul, a holy place, a divine center, a speaking voice to which we can continually return. And I might add, a good voice, a loving voice. He goes on, a practicing Christian must above all be one who practices the perpetual return of the soul to the inner sanctuary, one who brings the world into its light and rejudges it, and who brings the light into the world with all its turmoil and fitfulness and recreates it. The reality is, even though we may feel alone sometimes, we are never really alone. Evelyn Underhill, in her book titled The Spiritual Life, writes, We stand in a world completely penetrated by the living God, the abiding source and sum of reality. She says prayer means turning to that reality, taking our part, however humble, tentative, and half understood, in the continual conversation, the communion of our spirits with the eternal spirit. We can and should use those times when we are alone to listen for the voice of God, to listen as we pray, to listen for the voice of God speaking to us through the scriptures. We can and should, in those times that we are alone, pray for ourselves and others. We can read a good book that inspires us. We can listen to music that feeds our soul in the times when we are alone. And even when we're alone and busy and doing yard work or housework or something else, we can be carrying on a conversation with God, and especially bringing to God words of thankfulness, noticing all the goodness that God has placed in our lives, and thanking God that even on the worst days, there are blessings flowing to us. So we drown out the voice of the liar as we listen to God, pray, and carry on a conversation with God. And our loneliness begins to turn to blessed solitude. It's important that we learn to turn our loneliness into solitude. But Scripture also reminds us that we were not created to be alone all the time. In the very beginning of the Bible, in the book of Genesis, we read the words, "Then the Lord God said, 'It is not good that the human should be alone. I will make him a helper as his partner.'" We were meant to not only have a partnership in our mate, in our marriage, but we were meant to live blessedly with one another, to have companionship, to be in a community, to be blessed by a family, either a biological family or a family of friends that we gather around us. I remember when I was single, I had several groups of friends. One of them was the supper club. And on Friday nights, we would get together and have supper together. One of them was the Watching Masterpiece Theater Club. And so on Sunday night, we would get together and watch Masterpiece Theater together. So we can gather around ourselves groups of friends that fill our lives and that bless us and who we can bless. God gave us each other to care for and to care about and to enjoy. So another piece of dealing with loneliness is to reach out and create relationships where we both give and take, where we are both blessed and bless others. There are lots of opportunities here at Salem to create relationships. We have Stephen ministers here. They are trained persons who are trained to walk alongside us when we are going through a difficult patch. And you can ask for a Stephen minister. You can speak to one of the pastors. You can speak to Nancy Graybill. Nancy, raise your hand back there. Nancy is one of our Stephen leaders. You can call the church office, and they will hook you up with our Stephen ministry. We have small groups here. Many different kinds of Bible study groups, topical study groups. We have small groups for service. You can speak to Jen Ryerson about some of our small groups. You can talk to Laurie Murray about our service opportunities with other people. Things like our summer work camp, where you can go away for a week and help others. Or our Community Service Day, which is coming up in October. And it's so much fun to work together with other folks. Vicki Insko, who is our director of kitchen ministries and food service, is always looking for people to help in the kitchen. And it is great fun to help in the kitchen. When the men and women get together and help to prepare food for a dinner or help to serve, those kind of places are all places to create relationships. We have the prayer shawl ministry, where people get together on Saturday mornings and knit and make those wonderful warm prayer shawls that make us feel wrapped in prayer. You can register for Financial Peace University, and that's a place to both learn and create relationships. We have an AA group that meets here on Monday evenings for those who have a problem with alcoholism. It is a place where people can gather and support one another in the sober life. Or building relationships might mean for you reaching out and beginning to build one-on-one friendships. Just experimenting, asking somebody if they'd like to hang out together, if they'd like to have dinner together. Building a one-on-one friendship with someone. Loneliness can be a very painful thing. It's something we all experience from time to time, but we don't have to stay lonely. We can name the voice of the liar in our lonely times. We can drown it out with Scripture. With God's help, we can turn loneliness into special times of being with God. And we can develop relationships. Relationships that will bless others and bless us in return. The Lord has a plan for your life. Reach out and take a hold of it. Let's pray. God, we give you thanks that we are never alone. Whether at the moment we can sense your presence or not, you are there with us, caring for us, loving us deeply. Teach us to reach out to you in our times of loneliness. Teach us to speak the words of love and caring from the Scripture when the voice of the liar begins playing in our head. And teach us to reach out to others and create relationships which make our lives rich and strong. We ask these things in the name of Jesus, our constant companion and friend. Amen.